feel loved by him today, this whole week? Have you drawn near to him this week? He's just a breath away at any time. I can't tell you how many times I wake up at night. Sometimes I have restless nights. I'm sure everybody does. And I just stop and turn to him, and he's there. I just know he's there. And that's such a blessing, because there was years that I didn't know that. But when he gives you that, that's such a blessing. And we're so thankful for it. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you're a very present help always, Lord. Any need we have, you have already prepared and took care of all of our needs, Lord. Before the foundation of the world, it was already laid out there for us. Anytime we have need, Lord, just to turn to you. And Father, may we do that tonight, as we have need of you, Lord, to know more about you. As Brother Branham said, we should pray for revelation more than anything else. So that must be the most important thing, Lord. And we pray you'll reveal to us more tonight, Lord. Draw us closer. Lord, open our eyes to the hour that's before us, Lord, as you opened up Elijah's servant that day so that he could see what was really going on all around him, Lord. The battle that was there and the protection that was there, Lord. Open our eyes to what has happened in the message today, Lord, so that we realize where we're standing. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was listening to some more of that Brother Branham's life story this afternoon, and I'd already went through the part where he had went to Africa and disobeyed the Lord and went with those brothers, and how he suffered for it for months after that. And when the Lord forgave him and he took that stuff away, there were several times after that that things were presented to Brother Branham, and he was like, no, whatever the Lord said, that's what's going to happen. And a few months, or maybe even a year or so later, he was looking at going to minister at certain places, and there was these two places he could go. And the Lord had showed him a vision, but he didn't understand the vision, what it meant. And so he went to Battle Creek. That's the two places. It's up north somewhere. I forgot what the other place was, but he went to Battle Creek instead of this other place. And somebody, the manager, had already booked him for like 16, 17 messages, one right after the other night. And about seven messages in, he realized something was wrong. He was realizing something was wrong all along. But so he got away and prayed about it. And the Lord showed him a vision, and he realized he went to the wrong place. Not knowing that he went to the wrong place, but he went to the wrong place. And, you know, you think about that. He knew what he went through over there. He knew how much he wanted to stay right with the Lord on things. And then all of a sudden he finds out he's in the wrong place. He went the wrong way. And the Lord told him, you stop and you go to this other place. I mean, they're right in the middle of these services. There's all these people in there. Those ministers got so mad, so angry with him. And as he started to get up and leave, they got him by either arm and took him out. And as they were taking him out, they were explaining to the congregation that he couldn't be there because his brother was sick. A half a truth. That wasn't why he wasn't there. And I thought to myself, no wonder the Lord didn't want him there. But he went on to the other place he was supposed to go. And he said, he got to thinking, he said, you know, sometimes, he said, I realized that the Lord had let me misunderstand that first vision so that I'd be here in the middle of this test. And he'd have to do whatever, you know. Here he is in the middle of it. Is he going to finish it out? Or is he going to do what the Lord said do? And so I thought that was so good that he was pointing that out, that in the middle of that, him misunderstanding, God had let that happen so that he could realize that test and go through it. And I thought, I wonder how many times in our lives that God doesn't let little things happen so that we'll realize we're in a test and turn to him and go that direction, whatever he says do. And so I'd been studying Sunday, I was studying Tuesday, I was studying this morning early, I was studying at lunch this afternoon, I was studying after I got home, and I was about to walk out the door without quotes and just come. And just a few minutes before, he pulled this together for me. And so let's look at this, and let's look at what Daniel, when we've talked about the Ancient of Days a little before, but let's look what Daniel saw, and let's look at what happened in this day, what took place. Okay, and this is in the Patmos vision, paragraph 180. All right, Daniel 7:9, and I beheld unto the thrones, until the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow. So this Ancient of Days, he's not an old man. He's an Ancient of Days because Brother Ram said Ancient of Days means you can't count them. There's so many days. But a lot of times people think he's got white hair and that he's old. And it's Ancient of Days, but it's not old age. It's many, many days. Those garments was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. Ancient of Days, his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels were burning fire, and fiery streams issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him. What does that sound like? Who ministers to the bride? I mean, to the husband, the bride. Tens of thousands times thousands ministered unto him, and 10 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. White hair. Notice he sees the white hair when the judgment books are open. All anybody knows that the old judges in the ancient days, like English judges, used to wear a snow-white wig. How many remembers that? Old, ancient judges wore a white wig because, and here he is, showing again that John's over in the Lord's day. Because he's seeing this, he's over in the Lord's day. He saw him as the judge. Amen? Not a priest. So John, in the Lord's day, saw him as judge. Not as priest, not as king, not as prophet, but as judge. Now, don't let that pass you by. The Father, it's St. John 5:22, committed all judgment to him. And he's judge now. Come to judge the nations. Oh, for that day when you see him like that, for that day when you see him like that. Sitting on the throne as judge, the bride ministering to him, white hair. His hair was white as snow. Daniel saw him coming to the Ancient of Days. Watch him blend these two together. Watch him blend this judge in the Ancient of Days. Watch him blend them together. All right. The judgment was set. The books were opened. And I beheld them then because. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words. Which the horn. No, I've got the wrong place, haven't I? Daniel 7. Yeah, here we are. And a fiery stream issued forth. And come from him. And tens of thousands ministered to him. And he beheld. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, a horn speaking words. And I beheld even until the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed, and given to the burning flames. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they all had their dominion taken away. That's all the Gentiles, powers, and kingdoms will fall. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. This is Daniel. See, this is the one we talked about where Daniel prayed and prayed that he would know what to do. And the angel came and showed him everything. Showed him everything to the consummation. One like the Son of Man in clouds of heaven. How did we see him in this morning? In the third verse, coming in clouds of heaven, the Son of Man coming in clouds. One like unto the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days. This one like unto the Son of Man came to this Ancient of Days. And they brought him nigh before him. And while Brother Branham said, watch him blending them together. And there was given him a dominion and glory and kingdom, and all people, nations, languages should serve him. This dominion is an everlasting dominion. So after all these Gentiles ones are cast down, he's given this dominion. This dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Come to the Ancient of Days, whose hair was white as wool. And John turned and saw one like the Son of Man standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with a snow-white hair, the judge. See how he's tying these two together, Brother Bram said. The one standing in the midst of the candlesticks and the one on the throne. He's tying them together. Not girded around the waist, but girded around the paps up here. And judge with that sash of the judge over his shoulder. And what, remember, I don't think I'm going to get that one tonight. But Brother Ram talks about that sash being over his shoulder. And that's him taking the responsibility of the bride. With the sash of the judge over his shoulder, he stood with a golden, pure, holy, refined girdle that held his righteousness. And who is his righteousness? Brother Bram said, we are his righteousness. And Brother Bram said, there, when he comes as judge, we're there. There only where he's took, Brother Bram said, it's laid upon his shoulder. He's took our responsibility. That's why we're his righteousness. He stood with a golden, pure, holy, refined girdle that held his righteousness. His cover, he was covered all the way to the feet. Watch the sevenfold manifestation of his person in glory. See, the one standing in the midst of the candlesticks. Head, white as wool. Righteousness, experience, eloquence, sufficient, wisdom, aged, white. Speaks of wisdom, old, now knows what he's doing. He's the fountain of wisdom. He's the fountain of experience. He's the fountain. What's a fountain? That's where these things come from. A fountain's where they come from. It's the fountain of experience. He's the fountain of every good thing. Therefore, he's represented in this one like the Son of Man, who's clothed with this white hair hanging down. Daniel saw him many hundred years, 700 years, and said he was the Ancient of Days and one like the Son of Man, come in power and united with this Ancient of Days. And the judgment was set when this uniting comes together. Oh, it's breathtaking, friends. See him standing there in the supremacy of his deity. He's the judge, the priest, the king, the eagle, the lamb, the lion, the alpha, the omega, the father, son, Holy Ghost. He that was, which is, shall come. Tread out the winepress of the freshness, fierceness of God, and pleased everything until God said at the cross when he raised up, he said, it's finished. Pleased everything. All the requirements that God had of what a son would be when he projected him on earth. He pleased it all. When he raised up, he said, it's finished. Pleased God so till the spirit that left him come back on Easter morning and picked him up and rose him again for our justification. There John stood up and saw him standing there with the feet of brass, eyes like flames of fire running to and fro throughout the earth. Daniel saw him 700 years before that in the same position, the same kind, same man standing there, the Ancient of Days, and one like the Son of Man that joined in with him. And all judgment was committed to him, standing at the white throne judgment. See, that's where that those two come together. Seeing this, these things, what kind of people ought we to be, friends? God bless you is my prayer. All right, let's move down here to the spiritual food in due season. Is everything all right? Is everybody okay? Okay. Is Em, are you okay? You seem like you were in pain on your face. So I think it was so striking the other day when I was bringing the seven church ages to start off with. I couldn't make out Jesus standing there with those, with that white over him like that, his hair white as wool. I couldn't understand how a man 33 years old would be snow white. I called a good theologian, Pentecostal theologian, a good dear friend. Well, it was Brother Jack. He's a smart, intelligent man. Said, Brother Bram, that was Jesus glorified. That's what he looked like after he was glorified. Now you think about that. The Bible's calling attention to this. And that's what a theologian says it means. No, I couldn't believe that. Said, well, Brother Jack, thank you. And got in the room there and got to speaking to God. And I run my concordance to take him back to Daniel where it said, and he came to the Ancient of Days whose hair was white as wool. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. And I've got the responsibility. Now that was before, and remember, before the seven seals was opened, about a year or more before, I was praying there, Lord, what is it? Now you think about the parallels that are going on here. Because Brother Branham, he knows that this is going to something. It's building to something. Because he made the statement in 1958 that the Son of Man was being manifested. And these things with the third pull was dropping. He knows it was building to something. And here he is praying and praying about this. Now think about what Daniel was doing as those 70 years ended. It got to we almost 2 years left. And what did he do? He started praying to know what to do. What was the answer? and listen, and look what's happening. And remember, before the seven seals was opened, about a year or more before, I was praying there, Lord, what is it? I looked standing before me. Now, and why would he say that? Why would he throw that in like that? Think about it. He's talking about the Ancient of Days, and all of a sudden he thinks about to mention that I was praying about this before the seals opened. We'll get to that in a minute. Lord, I don't know what to say. I got your responsibility. Now remember, that was before the seven seals opened, about a year or more before. And I looked standing before me, and there stood a man, and he was a judge. And he had a white wig on. The old judges of ancient days used to wear a white wig to show that he was supreme authority. And then when I seen Jesus with the white wig, I said, it only vindicates the truth that we know that he is the supreme authority. He was asking God, and God showed him this vision. God witnessed the same thing on Mount Transfiguration. This is my beloved son. Hear him. By telling these people, hear him, he's given supreme authority. This is my son. Hear him. And the white wig, remember all that. Then back out there at the beginning of the seven seals, when those angels came down in the pyramid form and stood there and told me to return back and speak on these seven seals, and he'd be with me. He'd show me what they were, the lost things. I always thought it was sealed on the back of the book, and it'd be something wasn't wrote in the book, but it turned out that it was made known that he cannot do that. It isn't something that's written. It's something that's been hid in the book. It isn't something that's written in the book. It's something that's been hid in the book. For now, Brother Ram said it became a new book to him. How could it be a new book if it didn't open? People still saying the seventh seal wasn't open. It's something that's been hid in the book. For whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it. That's his argument, see? It's already there. Because you can't take one, because the Bible says you can't take one word from it, you can't take one word, add one word to it. So it's got to be there. That's his argument. So it is a mystery that's been in the book in these seven church ages. Each one of them produced a mystery all about water baptism and things, other things that they fumbled about so long. And one day, turning it to the right, I looked, and there was Jesus, just as perfect as Hoffman ever drawed him. It was standing there with a white wig on, looking back towards the earth. Now, this is another instance, because the other one he placed back there when Christ came. Looking down towards the earth, knowing that he is supreme authority, the heavens declared it. The Bible declares it. The message declares it. The message declares what's in the sky. All the same, supreme authority with the white wig on. Supreme authority, what does that mean? My son, hear ye him. That belongs to his son. Supreme authority belongs to his son. And we saw that in the sky. And that's what the message is for. The message is to show God's people what's taking place. Supreme authority. Because when you recognize what's taking place, that's revelation. Supreme authority with the white wig on, you see his black beard under. Many of you seen the picture. We got it back there. And turn it right sideways. Look at it. There he is, just as perfect as it was. If it had been photographed of him. There, They're looking at it from the wrong angle. They got the angle at the wrong angle. And the only the Lord can reveal which is the right angle. Turn it to your right and look at it, looking at it. There he is, just as perfect. Had it been a photograph up there. The first time I ever seen him, he looked like the head of Hoffman. I had never seen that before. Now, I wonder what they got to say about that. Because he said that years before the cloud come and anything else. That's what he looked like. And Billy Sunday's tabernacle, years later, I saw it. And you can look at the cloud and you can see how the Hoffman's head just fits. They can make up all the stuff they want to about the cloud. But you can't erase that. And then Billy Sunday's tabernacle, years later, I saw it. My house has never been without one of the pictures since. Then here in the skies, saying that the very God that I saw up in this vision out here, the skies are saying that the very God that I saw in this vision, saying that the very God that I saw up in this vision out here, just a little boy out here by where the schoolhouse stands, he looked like that. And here in the heavens, 33 years later, declares it. It's the truth. 33 years later. That's the way he looks. Not some mystic something of somebody's idea. All right. So this I put on the website the other day, but let's go back through it real quick. Now, we're looking at John, the Elijah for today, and Jesus Christ, the vindication of Elijah. Brother Bram, we went through that a few services back about how that Jesus vindicated John. When John said he was going to forerun the coming, and there he come, that was the vindication. Now look what Brother Bram says about this. The reason they called John Elijah was because the same spirit that was upon Elijah had come back upon John. Even as that spirit had come back upon Elisha after the reign of Ahab. Now, once again, that spirit will come upon another man just before Jesus comes. He will be a prophet. He will be vindicated as such by God. Since Jesus himself in the flesh, now listen to how he does it. He weaves this together so beautiful. Since Jesus himself in the flesh won't be here to vindicate him. Since Jesus in a corporal body won't be here to vindicate him like he was back there to vindicate John. As he did John, it will be done by the Holy Spirit so that his prophet's ministry will be attended by great and wonderful manifestation. As a prophet, every revelation will be vindicated. For every revelation will come to pass. Wonderful acts of power will be performed at his commands in faith. Then will be brought forth the message that God given him in the word to turn the people back to the truth and true power of God. Some will listen, but the majority will run true to form and reject him. Now listen to what he says here. Since this prophet messenger of Revelation 10:7 will be the same as Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Now, what did he just say about being vindicated by Jesus, by the powerful works that will be happening? He will be naturally like Elijah and John. Both were men set apart from the accepted religious schools of their day. Both were men of the wilderness. Both acted only when they had, thus saith the Lord, straight from God by revelation. You know, that's promised to the bride. We just talked about that the other day. Brother Branham said, she'll be quiet unless she has thus saith the Lord. And she knows what he wants done with it. Both lashed out against the religious orders and leaders of their day. But not only was that so, they lashed out against all the who were corrupt or would corrupt others. And notice, both prophesied much against immoral women and their ways. Elijah cried out against Jezebel, and John rebuked Herodias, Philip's wife. So he's just telling you what vindicated them to be that was they were calling these things out. They were doing this. They were doing this. So now he's just going to show you what's vindicating him. He's not going to say himself. Though he will not be popular, he will be vindicated by God. As Jesus authenticated John, now he comes back to this thought. Because he just talked about it a while ago, him not being there in a corporal body, he'll have to do it with this way and this way. Now he comes back to it again. As Jesus authenticated John and the Holy Ghost authenticated Jesus, we can well expect this man will be first of all authenticated by the Spirit working in his life in acts of power that are indisputable and found nowhere else. And Jesus himself, in returning, will authenticate him. Even as he authenticated John. Now, he just said how that was going to happen up there earlier. People looking for a corporal body now. When Brother Bram said Jesus' feet will not touch this earth again till the millennium. Even as he authenticated John, John witnessed that Jesus was coming. John witnessed it. This Elijah has to witness it. And so will this man, like John, witness that Jesus is coming. Now, how did he witness it? God told him exactly who Jesus was, showed him exactly where he was at, sent him to him. God sent Jesus down to the prophet and then showed the prophet who he was. And this is the way he has to be vindicated. And the very return of Christ will prove that this man indeed was the forerunner of his second coming. This is the final evidence that this indeed is the prophet, not was the prophet. This is the final evidence that this indeed is the prophet of Malachi 4. For the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus himself appearing. The Son of Man, this Ancient of Days, the Judge. It will be him appearing. And what did we see, brother and sister? What did we see? Remember what he told John? Go ask John. Go tell John what you see. He'll know from that. That this indeed is the prophet of Malachi 4. For the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus himself appearing. Now remember what he said about the Ancient of Days before that. Back when we were reading just a minute ago. It was at the end of the Gentile days. That's when the Ancient of Days shows. For the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus himself appearing. Then it will be too late for those who have rejected him. Now let's drop over to the rapture for just a minute. And there, when I was watching one day, when I started preaching these seven church ages, he's relaying this story about Brother Jack again. There is one like the Son of Man standing there. His hair was white as wool. He said, he was a young man. How could his hair be white as wool? And then Brother Branham, he tells Brother Branham that. Let's go down paragraphs 160. I've always preached that he was deity, not just a man. He was God manifested in flesh. God, the attribute of God, of love, the great attributes that come down, displayed here on earth of God. He displayed the attributes of God. on earth of God. Jesus was God's love, which built a body that Jehovah himself lived in. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was what God was. He manifested through that body what God was. He manifested through that body, not leaving out anything. What God was in full, he manifested through that body. You can't say this is the fullness of the Godhead bodily and not display it. That body had to die so he could wash the bride with his blood. And notice, not only is the bride washed, forgiven, but she's justified. See, did you ever try that word, justified, to see what it means? Now, for instance, if Brother Green heard I'd been drinking, I've been doing bad things, and he found out I didn't do it, then he come say, I forgive you, Brother Branham. You forgive me? I never done it. What you're forgiving me about? See, now, why is he dropping to this? He's in the middle of this rapture message, and he drops back to this. What you forgiving me about? See, if I'm guilty, then I can be forgiven, but I'm still not just. Catch that word, brother and sister. Because who sits with him in his throne and judges? And if he's been forgiven, he can be forgiven, but he's not just. So how can he judge if he's not just? You see what he's doing. Now watch where he's going to run it together here in a minute. But if I'm guilty, then I can be forgiven, but I'm still not just because I did it. But the word justified is though you never done it at all, justified. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin because it's still put in the book of God's forgiveness. He's the only one can do it. He's the only one can put it there. We can't. He's the only one can do away with that first life. We can't. Remember what he said there in Future Home? He said, you can't get forgiveness for what Adam done. You didn't do it. He said, that's a gift of God. We can't. We can't forgive. We can forgive, but not forget. I could forgive you, but I'd always remember that you've done these evil things. Then you're not just, you're forgiven. Now he's got a point for bringing this. Don't miss it. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. If she's going to judge with him, she has to be as spotless as he is. You see why the judgment is set and the books are open at the end of the church ages. You see why Brother Branham said he couldn't open up this message in the church ages. He had to open it up out of the church ages. Because it's a pure message. It's not lacking in any way. A man standing there married to this virtuous Son of God never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She... I'm sorry. My throat's giving me a fit. She was trapped into this. And now when she heard the truth and came forth, the blood cleansed her. And she stands there virtuous, see? No sin on her at all. No sin whatsoever. Let me get a drink of water here. I tell you, brother and sister, I get really happy thinking about how many times Brother Branham would start over here and he'd end up here at Christ. You start over here, he ends up at Christ. Start over here, ends up at Christ. He starts here, it all goes there every time. And the end starts off with the bride way out here in the Luther's age and ends up back over here. It's all the word going to the one place. God's bringing it to pass. And she stands there virtuous, see? No sin on her at all. Therefore. So he said all that, and the therefore is going to, that's to tie it together. Remember, I use that word, thus. Sometimes I'll say, such and such and such and such is the case. Thus, this is also happening. I was talking about something at work. They probably laugh at me when I do that, but it fits. So, and here's Brother Branham using therefore. Therefore, the message calls the bride together, see, the shout. And Brother Goomba went through this the other day. The shout, the voice, the trumpet. See, the shout and the trumpet. The same one, he, with a loud voice, he screamed with a shout and a voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth, see? And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride. So the shout is the message going to us. The voice wakes up the sleeping bride. And what's the trumpet? The voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, with the sound of the trumpet, and then it does, it calls, always a trumpet called Israel to the Feast of Trumpets. See, which was a Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky, and the Feast of Trumpets. And now a trumpet do announce a calling together, coming to the feast. And now that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky. And what did Brother Goomba, he went through the rest of this the other day, and what did he tell us? He does all three as he's descending. And who is that? It's that covenant angel that's opened the book, and he's sending his message down. He's coming down, and he comes down and puts one foot on the land and one foot. I had to go back and read it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And now a trumpet do announce a calling together, feast, come to the feast. And now that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky. The Lamb's Supper. The waking of the dead and the message calling the bride out. All as he's descending. Now watch the assembling together and the bride, the feast of the trumpets, the wedding supper. We have seen it in types. Now watch just a moment before we close. Notice we've seen it in types. Now, I didn't pull the rest of that. Y'all, you go ahead. Go read it. But I want you to look at what he says about this voice, this Ancient of Days here. About that time, Roy Roberson come in and said, and he's going through the dreams that they had went through. About that time, Roy Roberson come in and said, Brother Branham, you remember back there before you left the church the first time? I seen you sitting like in Palestine, and we was all, the board and everything was sitting like the Lord's Supper table. Lord's Supper table. He's sitting at it. And then you talked. He wasn't sure what you was talking, and he wasn't sure what you was talking about. Said, a white cloud come down. So before the white cloud comes down, he's not sure what he's talking about. And the white cloud come down and got you and packed you away. How many remembers the dream of Brother Roy? And said, the white cloud packed you away and said, then you was gone. I walked through the streets screaming and crying. And when I come up there, and that little old arm crippled up like he has, a reading is, he dropped the rake and started crying when he seen me coming up there. And I hadn't seen him, so he tell me the dream. So when Brother Branham walked up, he'd had this dream that Brother Branham had left and not come back. And so when he walked up, he dropped his rake and started crying. Because he hadn't told Brother Branham about the dream. And you went away, said, I walked the streets everywhere trying to find you. I couldn't find you nowhere. I was screaming, oh, Brother Branham, don't leave. Said, a white cloud come in and got you and packed you away from us towards the west. That was before the pyramid or anything, said. packed you towards the west, and I cried and walked the streets. And after a while, I went and sat at the table. Look where he went and sat. After he screamed and cried and walked the streets, he went and sat at the table. After a while, I went and sat at the table. I happened to look up there at the head of this table that he sat at. I could see that much of you was snow white. And he said, you were standing there and said you spoke with authority. He's sitting at this table, speaking with authority. What did Brother Bram say this message was going to do? He said it's going to remove all doubts. It's a dissolver of all doubts. If all your doubts were gone today, do you think you'd cry about anything anymore? If you knew exactly where God wanted you and what he wanted you doing and saying and living and how you should be, would you worry about anything anymore? And what is he going to do at this wedding supper? He dries your tears. I could just see that much of you was snow white and said you were standing there and said, now everybody, you start preaching this and people say, you're trying to make Brother Branham the Lord Jesus Christ. The word is Jesus Christ. Was snow white and said, you're standing there and said you spoke with authority. Authority. And what was he done right before the seals were opened? What happened? He come and gave him the word. He put the word in his hands. There was no guessing to it. Said every man understood exactly what you said. Every man that was, this is at the table, brother. They're at the table. He's speaking at the table. Oh, my brother, sister. Now, every one of you conscious, I know what that means. See? And then he goes, and just watch. Stay close to Christ. Let me warn you now, as a minister of the gospel of this, don't take any foolishness. Don't imagine anything. Stay right there until the inside of the inside. What's the inside of the inside? The soul. Wheel in the middle of the wheel. Stay right there until the inside of the inside is anchored to the word that you're right in Christ. Because that's the only thing that's going to, because we're in the most deceiving age that we ever lived in. It would deceive the very elected if it was possible, because they have anointing. They do anything like the rest of them. Right. And that was in, what message was that again? Knoweth it not. All right. I got one more quote here that I pulled. If you'll bear with me, I'm going to pull it up and I'll tell you what it is and then we can read it. Did I get all that? No, I didn't. Hang on. We're in the midst of the most deceiving age we ever lived in. It would deceive the very elected. Okay, yeah, we got that. All right, so let me see if I can. Oh, no, I pulled it up on here. And this is, so he was just talking about the anointed ones that can deceive. And this is from the anointed ones at the end time. Paragraph 359. Notice the other day when this messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. See, the first pull, healing. The second pull, prophesying. The third pull, the opening of the word. The mysteries revealed. And what did he tell us the third pull was? That's his coming, he said. No more than, there is no more order, higher order to reveal the word than prophets. No more higher order. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the Word. Now, what did he say was sealed in the Word? Not what he thought was written on the back was actually hid in the Word, not written. So you know what he's talking about. That's the thunders. Truth that's been sealed in the Word. Do you see it? Amen. So, and you can read some more in there if you want. But I trust I didn't go too fast. And I know you've heard most of that. But, I mean, you've heard every quote I read. I'm sure everybody's read them 100 times. But just those two together, the Ancient of Days. People, Brother Ram said it's so simple that they'll miss it. He said they can be standing, looking right at it, and miss it. So, let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for helping me, Lord. Because if you didn't help me, I'd be a mess, Lord. All of us would be. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're so faithful to us, Lord. And Lord, though we may walk through dry valleys sometime, you're always with us. You never leave us, Lord. And I am so glad, Lord, that as life goes on and as things transpire, Lord, that you prove that over and over and over, Lord, showing us many, many times over, Lord, that you are faithful to your word. And Father, it just builds such a relationship, Lord. It just makes us long to be even closer, Lord. Long to take whatever your word is and not approach it partly, Lord. Not just get a little bit of it. Not just breeze past it and go on and just get involved in this world, Lord. But to just soak down in it, Father. I mean, the prophet said every prophet there was and all the messengers longed for this day, Father, this one that we're a part of. And Lord, may we die to the message for this hour, Lord, that you might live, Lord, in us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.